welcome, sports nerds, for another First and Goal with the Alabamas and USCs of the podcasting world, right here on oneofus.net. This is the Nerdy Sports Podcast that poses the question of who would win in a football game, the Gallifreyan Time Lords or the 1985 Chicago Bears? I'm here with my fellow co-host, JC, the Detroit Lion de Leon.
What's up?
And our neighbor, Adam, the Bear Charles.
What?
This is a very special Inside the Locker, as it is the first one being done partially without our illustrious leader, Brian Salisbury. Apparently, Blockbuster, as a part of their slow death process, was getting rid of the last of their VHS tapes, and Brian rented a U-Haul to go clean them out. That being said, we will have a remote from him later. Inside the Locker is, of course, available on iTunes and can be followed at ITLcast on Twitter. So, my locker mates, sounds a little weird, what's in the beer bucket?
Starting with me, I guess right now I'm taking a third shift amber lager, and it's not bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And JC, what you got?
I'm drinking the same as you, the Batch 19 pre-prohibition style lager.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm about to take my first sip.
So okay. Okay, this is the sip. Let's see what he thinks. It's like Top Chef right now.
It's like, oh my God. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Cool.
His face just said, this is shit.
He sells it, though. Like, I always like any kind of beer that I can be reminded of the Untouchables when I drink it. So it's good. Okay, so first things, we're going to get to some stories and some scores in the main event. But first thing we got to talk about is T-Mac. And I've never said that in my life, and I'm pretty sure nobody's ever said that. So, T-Mac's retiring. What do you think?
I think give it 3 years and just make sure that it's official, that he's not going to play anywhere in Asia or Australia. But overall, I think it's been a while coming.
I mean, you get the sense, unlike Allen Iverson, you get the sense this past couple months when he was with the Spurs that he's done. He's pretty much over it. And it sucks because he's another one who's, a lot of his career was derailed by injuries and things like that, and he could have been one of the greatest. Still but pretty good.
What about the rap? Because I was reading a little bit about this. What about the rap that he just doesn't try hard? Do you buy that, JC?
I mean, there's probably a little bit of that. I think he had a lot of natural talent, and maybe the effort wouldn't have been there. I think he learned a lot and didn't take it for granted as much later in his career, but...
Yeah. Okay, what do you think, Adam?
Maybe, I guess, a little too late. But still, he's been... I mean, he was... there was never anything as far as issues for T-Mac. He's been... I mean, he was, as far as I can recall, anyway, he's been a pretty decent ambassador for basketball. And so it is kind of sad. It would have been nice to see him go out with the ring, playing with San Antonio.
Yeah, because he was in the finals.
Yeah, he was a bench player for the Spurs, and he played a good 30 seconds, I think, there in the... In the finals, something like that.
It was actually the first time in his career that he got out of the first round.
Oh, wow. He's not even going to have a legacy. He's just going to be some guy that played during an era.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be one of those players who gets looked back on as he was a consistent all-star for a good, what, 6-7 years?
Yeah. He's got that one great moment where he scored 13 points in 39 seconds against the Rockets.
That's just sad.
Or no, when he was with the Rockets against...
Wow, he did it against himself? That's pretty good. That's pretty amazing.
He did it against the Spurs, actually.
So, I mean, it's just a situation where, I don't know, it's almost worse than if he had just been really, really bad to me. I mean, because he has all that potential, and it's like, did he really want it?
I guess that's the argument, is maybe he really didn't. Maybe if the effort wasn't there, then I guess technically maybe he didn't really want it. But, I mean, he had his opportunities. He played for some good teams, and... And
led the league in scoring a couple of times.
And it certainly didn't help that Yao continued to get injured as well during some of his prime years in Houston. But I don't know. It is somewhat sad. It would have been nice to have seen him go out maybe with the ring. He probably would deserve one. But it is what it is.
Yeah, that is true. And now we're going to move to some stories. We got story number one.
Story number one titled, A Stark Mistake.
Okay, so... I know this was on the internet a few days ago. There was a guy, he was running the Ironman, and not even the real Ironman, so I think it's the half Ironman, because they call it the Ironman 70.3, and he rounds a corner, and he thinks he's done, so he just sort of stops running. Just says, I'm just gonna walk up there, and the second guy sees him, and just, like, takes off, and he, and, like, the guy who stopped barely beats him by pushing him back at the last minute. So what do we think about this guy?
Physically? He physically kept him behind him in order for him to finish first?
Oh, yeah. I know Tony Stark is cocky and is an Iron Man and all that, but damn, man, come on, finish the race, then brag.
Yeah. I would think, for an Iron Man competition, that'd be the one place where I would not want to do some... Now I want to do some shit talking, because you've just been killing yourself for a good, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
And just to tempt fate in that kind of way, that's pushing it.
With that kind of competition, you'd think you'd want to get it over the fuck with as soon
as
possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
waiting at the finish line.
I mean, it reminds me a lot of, I think it was Andrew De Silva, was he the one that got knocked out in the MMA?
Anderson Silva?
Yeah, Anderson Silva.
Silva had he has a history of taunting that's just kind of one of his things. That's part of his shtick. It's a mental thing for him. In the fight game, being able to taunt your opponent, if you can get in their head a little bit, it does somewhat give you an edge. So it's a way of kind of getting under their skin.
Mm-hmm.
But with an Ironman competition where nobody's actually even around, he's really just bragging about the fact that maybe he's about to win.
Yeah.
And you really gain nothing from that.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and plus, this guy's not Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt was pulling up at, I think, the 2008 Olympics because he knew he was going to beat everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, this would be the equivalent. You know what? If you want to keep this in boxing terms, or if you want to keep it like a boxing analogy, this would be basically beating the shit out of a guy for 12 rounds only to start talking shit for the last minute, and he just cold cocks you and you barely just keep yourself up from going down.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally think he should have lost. I mean, what do y'all think? Do you think it would have been a fitting thing, or is it better that he just won?
I think it's better that he won. If he didn't do that, he would have, it sounds like he would have won fairly convincingly.
Oh, so yeah. Well, maybe about a few seconds.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like he didn't deserve to win.
Yeah.
But still, it would have...
It would have been funny.
You know, this would have been a much better story had he actually lost.
Damn you, reality, messing up my stories.
Or if an MMA fight broke out at the end of it.
If Anderson Silva just came up from around the corner.
Well, the thing is, it's funny, I want our listeners to go watch the video. It's sort of, the guy who comes up second is a really nice guy, because if he wasn't, there could have easily been a fight started.
Apparently, if the man who actually won ended up, trying to keep him back, physically holding him back.
Okay, now we're going to move on to story number two, and this is a little bit unorthodox, but Adam, go ahead.
Story number two, entitled Fever Pitch.
Fever Pitch, okay, we're going to go into it. But basically, one of the best things about baseball, one of the things I love, is the first pitch. If you think back to right after 9/11, you had George W. Bush throwing out that first pitch, and it's something that the West Wing paralleled when they had Bartlett do it after a terrorist attack. And, you know, just the first pitch is a good thing. And in Japan, and I think in South Korea, they had these really cool first pitches. Let's go over the one. Let's save the really cool one for a second. So let's go over the one in Korea where we're gonna post it with this actress. She does a backflip and then tosses out the first pitch.
Yeah, I saw this a few weeks ago when I stumbled upon the Mr. Go trailer, because within the same story there were links to, you know, oh, if you like this story, you must like Asians. So and baseball. So it linked to this, and I saw that, and I was like, wow, that's pretty creative. George W. Bush wouldn't do that.
That'd be amazing to see, though.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was a cool moment.
Is she an actress? I thought she was a gymnastics.
I think she's a gymnast.
She's a gymnast?
Yeah.
I guess, well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she might be.
The thing is, it was a decent pitch, too.
She got it there. It wasn't like she, I mean, I could probably do neither one of those. So the fact that she did one in succession, I think that's pretty impressive.
That probably gave her extra momentum. Justin Verlander could do it.
I want to see Clements do that. That's what I want to see. Okay, then we got the next part of the story, which is, if anybody's seeing Ringu?
Yeah.
The character Sadako, she went out in Japan and she did the first pitch. So just imagine a horror movie star doing the first pitch of the game. And what's even better is, in a few times, she's done this multiple times, she had three little mini Sadakus following her out there.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
So
was she, I guess, was she in character?
Yeah, she was a complete character. She had the hair down to her waist, over her head and everything.
Yeah, fuck that.
It would have disturbed me. Yeah, it would have disturbed me. One of the horror movie tropes that I think irrationally scares me the most is children. And especially white children who have really long black hair. wearing white dresses as terrifies the shit out of me.
I mean, it's a creepy thing because you can't I guess imagine yourself hitting a child.
Yeah.
So you're in a defenseless mode. Like you
speak
can't
for yourself. It's Adam, like you speak for yourself.
I don't know. A rational human being makes the thought that you can't hit a child. So that being said,
I would hit a little white child.
If they had long hair.
Yeah.
Just like roll it over them like a linebacker.
Little goth children, watch the fuck out.
Okay. But what, you know, in America, what would be our equivalent? Like, what horror movie character would you want to see throw out the first pitch?
William Shatner wearing the Michael Myers mask. You know what? Actually, has that happened? That would be kind of weird. William Shatner wearing a mask of himself painted white.
Yeah, that would be weird. I think Derek Mears would do it.
Okay.
That's where Brian would say Mears.
Mears? Yeah, he probably would say Mears. Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of any. We don't really have like a.
We like Freddy or Jason or like the big ones.
But I mean, those are actual characters.
Yeah.
And not that what's her name from Ringu is not really a character, but she's sort of
like in myth.
Yeah, it's the mythology of a child ghost. That's something you see consistently throughout a lot of J horror. I don't know if we have like an equivalent of that kind of a presence that seems like no matter what. I guess maybe the Paranormal Activity type, like the invisible ghost.
But you couldn't see him.
That'd be a great first pitch then.
Just have like some fishing wire.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I can't think of anything that we would have like the equivalent of that over here.
Something for a minor league team to explore because they always have these crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I think for me.
I'd go to a minor league game then if they announce that they're going to do that.
See, I think for me, it would be... I keep on forgetting their names because they're not really central characters. I mean, they're central characters, but they don't really need complete names on their own. I would have the Bradley Whitford character from Cabin in the Woods just come out, just looking... Because I would love it if people didn't really understand, why is Bradley Whitford there? Is this like a West Wing thing? I don't get it.
Most of the people in the stadium, though, wouldn't know
who Bradley Whitford is. Shamefully, they don't know who he is. They should know who he is.
Okay, we got story number three.
Story number three entitled... One Flew Out of the Met's Nest.
Okay, so JC, this is your story, so just give us a little bit of a rundown.
Yeah, speaking of crazy promotions, so the Mets the other night decided to have a Marlin Byrd t-shirt night, which is a nice tribute to one of their players. The thing is, a couple of hours before that game, Marlin Byrd was traded to the Pirates. And so they had that promotion without him actually being... a player there.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Come on, Mets.
Yeah, the Mets.
Come on.
Mets are not having a good week. They also lost Matt Harvey for a year, possibly 2 years, to a torn ligament in his elbow.
You know, there's a curse and then there's just being a dumbass. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, you can control this, Mets. Get this together.
Well, I guess you could, but I mean, and if I could play devil's advocate, I imagine this that having the Bird Knight was maybe planned. I don't know, maybe at least weeks ago, months ago, yeah, something like that. So,
and the marketing department doesn't really run these things by the GM.
And not only that, but I mean, if it's known that you're going to trade your player, but you don't maybe necessarily want to know that you're going to trade your player, then you can't. It's not like you can actually say, okay, let's move it up a night, because then it's going to spark some interest in saying, why are they moving it up?
Mm.
Yeah,
you know.
So it's just something that just.
But still, it's really stupid.
It is something we can laugh at.
Yeah.
So damn it, we're going to laugh at it. Anything else about this story?
No, it's about as silly as it sounds.
I tell you though, I would like one of those shirts. It's a pretty nice shirt.
It says "Let It Fly" and it's got a baseball with orange wings.
Yeah,
I bet it now would be pretty interesting collectibles item.
Yeah. I guess you could say the Mets gave the fans the bird.
Hey, you
somebody,
could say that.
Somebody has to do the puns. Brian isn't here. Come on. Yeah. Story number four, Adam. As I wait for you to take a sip of your beer.
Story number four entitled. Aaron Rodgers packs it in. I should not say that while I'm with beer in my mouth.
Beer, huh?
No, that's fine. I think it'll work.
Yeah. So you brought this to our attention, Adam, and thank you. And I'm not being sarcastic. Thank you because like this has made me know that there's something I don't want to eat. Go ahead and tell us about.
Actually, this is JC who found it. I just thought it was pretty interesting. So apparently, Aaron Rodgers, the pub that's right there, I guess, is it in the Packer Stadium?
Yeah.
They give the players the ability to design their own hamburgers. So,
which Aaron, I'm sure is always a great idea.
Yeah, and so Aaron Rodgers was, I guess, up for this week, or I don't know exactly how they work it, but
Yeah, it's Curly's Pub, named for the legendary coach Curly Lambeau, who is Lambeau Field is named after.
So, okay, yeah. JC, so give us the ingredients in this burger.
So this burger, which doesn't really have a name, but it's just crafted by Aaron Rodgers, is a prime blend burger topped with bacon, fried egg, peanut butter, Swiss and Havarti cheese, avocado, pickle, jalapeno, crispy fried onion rings, mayo, and ranch dressing.
So it's a whole lot of repetition there in one burger, except for peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much your standard things in a burger, except for peanut butter.
Except for peanut butter, and then
wondering if Aaron Rodgers knows something that we don't.
And no jelly.
Maybe he's just a big Elvis fan. Maybe that's what it is. The peanut
butter. Could be. The ridiculous thing about this burger, though, is I imagine when you put all that stuff in one burger, you can't taste any of it.
Yeah, you probably can't.
They all seem to probably cancel each other out. It's like a burger salad with peanut butter.
Yeah, I bet you the only thing you can really taste is the peanut butter in the burger.
Yeah, because it's going to be all you're thinking about. Yeah. What's also weird is they only sell 500 of these a week, so they're like the Mondo posters. Burgers.
People show up, it's like, I got to get my burger.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they give you the ingredients. You can go home and make your own burger. I doubt you can go home and make your own Mondo poster.
I would love it if each individual burger got branded with one of 500. 472 of 500. And there's like a burger release party every other month.
Or they're announcing it. We're running the fuck out. Better come in and get your burger.
Or your burger gets taken up. Everybody orders their 500 burgers within a minute. And you're just sort of at the bar like, hey, I ordered. You didn't order within a minute, man. What can I say?
Minute, man.
We got story number five.
Story number five, entitled More Than a Feeling. More Than a Feeling.
Yeah.
That's not really a song.
I like it, though. I like it.
So, More Than a Feeling. Apparently, WNBA star Candace Parker, in the midst of celebration, headbutts her teammate and causes her to bleed to death. I lied about the last part. Yeah. But she bleeds a lot.
She bleeds a lot.
Yeah, it's like, I saw the play. She makes a layup. I think it's in the end of the game. And her teammate jumps on her and just with such force that she just gets busted open. And you're like,
yeah, and come it, doesn't, on. It doesn't look so much like Candace Parker headbutts her as attacks her with her mouth.
That has very different connotations depending on how you think of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm watching it now.
Yeah. No, it's just kind of a funny thing because she starts bleeding a lot immediately. It's crazy.
Well, I guess if that's the way you're going to bleed, might as well just get Candace Parker's mouth on your face.
Actually, speaking of bleeding, one of the things I like to do is that when I'm around people, I like to tell my most embarrassing story just to get it out the way. It's something that I got taught where it's sort of you take this. It's if you're in court, you tell the worst story you can tell for your client. You just tell it yourself to frame it. So I'm like, this is my most embarrassing story, at least that I can think of. Basically, I used to work at a movie theater, and I was helping my friend clean out an area of the theater one time, and up to this point I had never really injured myself before, so I was more delicate than I thought I was. I thought it was this big guy. I was like 21, I think it was 20, and like I'm cleaning and I'm just like, and it's like the it's Saturday night, we're in the middle of a rush, we got to really get out that theater, so I'm cleaning and I'm going, and I put my like the cup rests have these like holes in the middle of their of the cup. So, like, I put my hand down to the cup rest to pull out the cup and, like, the little napkins and stuff. And I peel back, like, my entire fingernail.
Oh.
And I get so freaked out that, like, I just stop everything. And, like, I'm walking out the theater with, like, I put one of my hand on the wrist to keep my finger upright. And I walk out, and the customer's getting pissed because it's taking us a while. He's like, well, what's taking you so long? And I swear to God, I said this to the customer. Can't you see I'm bleeding? And one of my best friends, Richard, he's coming down this week, and so we can go to Hamilton Pool. He never lets me hear the end of it, and he shouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't either. Yeah. I mean, you're the guy who tore off his fingernail cleaning a cup holder.
And I'm like, can't you see I'm bleeding?
My response would have been, bitch, you want me to bleed in your popcorn?
Yeah. So yeah, I want all our listeners to know that story. That is my shining moment of embarrassment.
Okay. And now I guess you have something in common with, with getting mauled by Candace Parker's mouth.
I wouldn't mind getting mauled by Candace Parker's mouth.
Honestly, I probably wouldn't either. But still,
I hope I wouldn't bleed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Go ahead and take a look at the video for the listeners. It's pretty horrendous, but I mean, honestly, it would be hilarious if it wasn't so much blood.
Yeah.
But it's a lot. But it's kind of a lot of blood.
Yeah, it's just too much blood to really have a good laugh at. You're like, wow, that won't stop.
You know, we'll laugh about it next season.
Okay, I think we got one more story. I think it's story number six.
Story six, entitled Two Quarters Too Laughable.
Yeah, so JC brought this to our attention. And please tell us, while I try not to throw up, what happened.
So, we've kind of ignored all the hoopla around Johnny Manziel lately, just because we've had a bit of a Manziel migraine.
Ah.
So basically, he signed thousands of autographs, and maybe he took money for them, and maybe he didn't. He probably did, because nobody would do that much signing for free. The NCAA basically can't prove that he accepted money for these, but he did break a bylaw. There's a bylaw in the NCAA rulebook that says you cannot sign an autograph for someone if you know that they're going to sell it and make a profit. Which is kind of a weird thing, because I'm sure they do that all the time.
Yeah.
They just don't do it several thousand times like Johnny did.
Yeah.
So because they couldn't prove that he accepted money, but he did break that bylaw, they struck a deal. And I don't know what this trend is lately with athletes who break the rules and make deals with them like they're actual
lawyers are awesome.
So basically, yeah, they struck a deal to where his punishment is going to be being suspended for one half against the Rice game this weekend.
You could put a goat in against Rice and they'd be fine for a half.
Well, I wonder if that's maybe the thought is if they take him out of the first half, because A&M can beat Rice within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that basically Manziel, unless something really drastic happens and A&M can't pull like a 30-point lead in the first half, that Johnny Manziel probably just is not going to see any playing time this weekend. Or if he does, maybe for one quarter.
Yeah, I got to imagine he's going to get a little bit of playing time even if they manage to go up a lot at the half. The biggest thing, I think, for the NCAA and, I mean, really everybody involved, even though he broke a rule and he deserved to be suspended on a certain level, I want to see him play against Alabama, and so do a lot of people, and that's week 3. So
see, I think Alabama's going to have his number.
Oh, yeah.
I think they will this year?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I think Saban is pissed. And the thing about Saban, he's so good, and it kills me to say this as an LSU fan, he's so good he gets sort of bored. He's not bored for this one.
Yeah. I read a report that for the entire offseason and training camp, pretty much since the day that Texas A&M beat Alabama, in the Alabama weight room, they have the A&M Alabama game playing on a loop.
Oh!
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They're going to injure that poor boy.
Yeah.
They're going to, like, strip him, skin him, and wear his skin and say, I'm Johnny Manziel. I'm going to go to see LeBron play.
And you know what? That's how national champions act. You know,
that should be.
Yeah, you watch the national champions. You win the national championship. What do you have to look forward to? Well, let's look forward to the one time that we got, not necessarily embarrassed, but pretty fucking embarrassed. The national championship game itself was almost a joke.
Yeah.
And if Alabama had come to play like that and expected maybe that Manziel was a little bit better than maybe they were anticipating, they would have had another undefeated season. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, I mean, just to think about it, I mean, like, and I'll freely say this as an LSU fan because I'm not a fan that doesn't have eyes. They manhandled LSU, and I think it was the 2011 championship game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. LSU didn't even cross the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
The next year, LSU beat A&M, and you get beat by A&M, that had to sort of stick there a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and the one thing I know about coaches is they remember the losses very well. They don't really remember the wins, even though they're grateful for them. Even though you hate Nick Saban, there's actually a really cool article about him in GQ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they interview his one friend in Tuscaloosa that
he has a friend.
He has one friend. That's
is his name Winnie the Pooh?
He has one friend that's not a big football fan, and so that's the reason why Nick Saban likes hanging out with him.
Oh, okay.
Because he doesn't have to talk football around him very much.
Doesn't talk shop.
After they won, his friend called him and congratulated him, and the first thing Nick Saban said was, "That damn game cost me a week of recruiting."
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, that's a coach. Like, I may have my problems with Nick Saban, but that's a coach right there.
Yeah, the guy said, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Well, I could have spent that week in some kid's living room trying to get him to come to my school, and instead I had to go to all these parties and banquets."
To win the championship!
Yeah.
That's like a guy who says, you know, that date where I got laid, man, I could have been spending some time, you know, on online dating, setting things up. It's like, no. Like, getting yeah. laid and getting married, that's the point of dating.
Yeah,
that's
what you're there for. Yeah, this time I had my sex, it ruined all the times I could be having future sex.
Yeah. It's like, well, oh, I'm so sorry for you. Okay, before we move on to our sort of mini segment, I want to pour a little beer out for T-Mac. Because I want to just bring it back, and I want to bring it down for a second.
Tony, can I pour beer on the floor?
I think Slevin and Ripley might get drunk. I want to pour a little beer out for him, and I want to sing a little song for him. And I'm going to start it like this. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. And that's all I'm going to do, because I don't want to torture your ears anymore.
Isn't that song about, wait, no, I'm thinking of Lethal Weapon 2.
We can always do
that. Isn't that song about killing Danny Glover's son?
You're getting too old for this shit.
I think of kids dying in, like, some kind of gang shoot.
I can do semi-sonic closing
time. Lethal Weapon 3. Lethal Weapon 3.
So for a long time, that's what I thought the song was about. about them mourning their friend who got shot in the gang shooting. Is that racist?
I don't know. Not if it actually happened.
I'm pretty sure Boyz II Men is the opposite of gangster music.
Oh yeah, no. There was Boyz II Men had like one song, I think it was 97, where they tried to be gangster. And it was the oddest thing, because like it was them all four in a boxing ring and like with this like really stark yellow filter on the camera. I'm like, oh no, don't try that, Honey Sweet Baby. No, that's not what you are.
Wait, wasn't that, it was like a remix of a song that had Method Man and Redman.
Yep.
And yeah. I know what song you're talking about. I don't know what song you're talking about. I remember the video.
I miss that. I guess I'm not gangster enough.
No. It's actually the opposite. You're more gangster if you don't know about Boyz II Men.
Okay, good.
Like, I grew up with two sisters, so I know about Boyz II Men, Brian McKnight, Mariah
Carey. Yeah, that's
Carey,
the reason why you know about
Boyz
II Men, I bet.
Oh, yeah, you know, that and The Water Runs Dry and BBC ABD.
All you could
that.
Just say you like Boyz II Men. That's
I
fine.
Do like Boyz II Men.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, I could have always gone with Semisonic Closing Time. I mean, that's a good song, too. Now, and like our listeners who are 13 and 14, probably 20, don't know who Semisonic is.
No, I don't think they know half the things we just talked about.
It's going to end up being like a Leah where nobody knows the references.
Yeah.
I do like the never-ending trend of us never talking about music past 2000.
I'm pretty sure none of us know it.
It's like, let me think. Macklemore, Miley Cyrus twerked on some guy. That's what I found out.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, it's not that slow of a news week. Okay. Okay, now we're on to sort of our mini segment. This is sort of the college football weekly game preview. So we're gonna start off with the best team in the land playing
TCU.
Shut your filthy mouth. I'm just joking. LSU versus TCU in Jerry World. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Actually, I was going to forward you a link. There were Groupon tickets, I think, on sale for that game.
Well, that's the thing that kills me. Is like my sister, like she told me a few months ago, oh, we can't find tickets. So it's like we usually will go to one game a year as a family because like everybody besides my mom and my family went to LSU. And she goes, oh, I found some tickets. And I'm like, cool. And I'm like, oh, I have plans already. And I don't like to cancel plans. I feel bad canceling plans. And I'm like, she's like, oh, I could have got you tickets. I'm like, damn it.
Was it for this weekend's game?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that'd have been a good game.
Yeah, that'd have been the perfect game, actually.
You
should have
canceled your plans. Wait,
you should
have.
Yeah, it's LSU against top 25 team.
Yeah.
And it's probably the closest they're going to be here to where we are right now.
Yeah. Look, I don't blame you because, like, that's the thing about LSU is, like, as a lifelong LSU fan, like, since I was 3, one thing I will say, LSU is like it's like the Joker in the deck. You really never know what's going to happen.
That's
true. It's
yeah.
just, it's rarely, and we have the perfect coach for that. We have the crazy, like, I remember I read an article on Les Miles a few years ago, and it's like, it's the perfect description of Les Miles. It's if Bo Schembechler had a midlife crisis and moved down to the bayou and got with a few women who were loose and just took them around to Mardi Gras and just got them drunk all the time. It's like, yep, that's Les Miles. That's perfect.
That's LSU football.
Yeah, that's LSU football. It's never not interesting. So as I go off that LSU tangent, JC and Adam, when you can jump in, what do you think is going to win? What do y'all think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, it's the first week where teams schedule marshmallow teams to play. And TCU is not exactly a marshmallow, but LSU is probably going to win that game. A&M is going to beat Rice, as we talked about. Alabama is going to kill Virginia Tech. But the big matchup this week is Georgia versus Clemson. It's 8-9. And Georgia actually has a shot at the national title, maybe, because they almost were there last year.
Really?
They do.
They'd have beaten Alabama, which they almost did in the SEC championship, they would have played Notre Dame, and seeing as how Notre Dame played, Georgia probably could have been the national champion.
So you think Georgia has Clemson this weekend? You think they're gonna take them?
I know Georgia's really good, and they're one. It's the closest matchup this week, 8-9, so it's gonna be a good game either way. I'm surprised to see Clemson up there. I usually think of Clemson as a basketball school, but.
See, I feel like, I think Georgia has it. Although I am, one thing I like to acknowledge is I am extremely biased.
To the SEC?
To facts.
The LSU? Okay.
To where the last 7 championships have been the SEC. So, I'm saying if I see an SEC team, they're just going to win. Unless it's like Kentucky. When you have a coach named Joker Phillips, I don't think you're going to win many games. I think they fired him, but still.
Yeah, Clemson's going to win the ACC in football because there's nobody really else in there, but. Yeah.
No, I mean that's true. It's the SEC, and it's practically right now it's everybody else. Yeah. So
what's interesting? I mean, a lot of people. It may sound kind of biased because we're here in Austin, but you know, a lot of people have question marks about Texas. I mean, I think they're gonna be good this year. It wouldn't surprise me if they were really good. It also wouldn't surprise me if they suck balls.
I think Texas has a 10-win season.
Yeah,
I think Texas has a huge season.
So a typical Texas season minus like the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
that's sort of where we are now, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
they've been on. It's weird. They're not like on a losing streak, but they're not. They're on a non-Texas streak.
Yeah.
I mean it's been pretty. The defense has just been horrendous.
Yeah.
Defense has been horrendous, and offense hasn't been good enough to keep up with
the subpar quarterback play.
Yeah, David. You know, if you want to talk about inconsistency, David Ash is pretty much he's a poster child for that. I mean. Yeah. He's the kind of guy who can throw 4 touchdowns in one game and have almost like a perfect QB rating, and then 2 weeks later he's getting benched for Baby McCoy.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and see, this is the thing, LSU fans, we're used to sucky quarterback play. We won a few championships with Matt Mock. So I mean, but Texas, y'all had Vince Young, and to a much lesser extent, Colt McCoy. Like,
I don't know about a much lesser.
I would say much lesser.
Colt is he is the winningest quarterback of all time.
Oh no, not anymore.
You said you like facts.
I do like facts.
Not anymore.
But
is it Alabama? AJ McCarron. AJ McCarron took him over. But still,
he is
McCarron.
I know. I'm saying Colt McCoy. If I say Colt McCoy in the same breath as Vince Young, as far as college, they don't. That's not even a competition.
You know, if Colt McCoy wins the national championship game against Alabama and doesn't get injured, you might think differently on that.
Right.
I don't know, because it felt like Colt McCoy, when he was running, it was much more of a team effort. With Vince Young, it felt like Vince said, you know what,
I'm going to win this. Yeah, I'll grant you that. I mean, you're talking about players in two different, I guess, leagues of talent.
That's true.
I mean, Vince Young is, you can make a case that Vince Young is probably the most dominant college football athlete of maybe the last 10 years.
I would make that case, yeah.
I mean, if he's not the one, he's at least someone. He's inarguably in the top 5.
Oh yeah.
You put
Vince
Young on any team, and that team is automatically a national championship contender, regardless of who else is on it. Actually, if he comes back for his senior season, there's no doubt that they win the national championship that next year.
Right.
So anyway, I don't even know what the hell we're talking about anymore.
Speaking of Vince Young, one of the best things about living in Austin, and there are several things, is that if you go to any bar on 6th Street at about 1:55 in the morning, when the bars are closing, every bar still puts on the 2005, I think it was the Rose Bowl, that final countdown for them winning the championship.
Oh yeah,
and it's starting to wear thin. You're like, that's 2005, man. Like,
well, yeah, they're gonna play the shit out of it until they do something else good.
Yeah, until Nick Saban gets bored at Alabama and Texas throws a truckload of money at him to come coach Texas.
I would actually love Nick Saban a lot. Like, my problem with Nick Saban never was that he's a bad coach. I understand if you go to the NFL, you want to follow your dreams, and it doesn't work out, you go back to college. But don't come back to the same conference and the same division. That's just what I mean.
You basically went to the rival.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. My thing. Yeah, you want me to get over the Alabama loss, bring Nick Saban over as coach. I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I would love him on Texas.
Yeah, no, I would love him on Texas.
So are you a big Texas fan, Adam?
I'm a big Texas fan.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I live here in Austin, wasn't really attached to any college teams growing up. I kind of inherited becoming a Texas fan when they won the Big 12 against Nebraska.
That was a good game.
That was a fantastic game. So I think ever since then, I've no less kept up with Texas football, and I became a fan probably right after I graduated high school.
Okay.
There's nothing like being in a town that is big on football and having it. I mean, UT football, UT is actually all we have here in Austin.
Yeah, that's Austin's team.
Yeah, it's the capital of Texas, and we don't have a professional team. So we really hark on UT Texas football.
Yeah.
So whenever it comes around, it's hard not to get caught up in that, even if you don't, unless you're really anti, University of Texas, because you graduate.
Suck.
Yeah, exactly. Because like A&M, and even that, even that's even harder to be a rival with now because they're now in a separate conference. Yeah. So, but
did you go to school in Texas?
I didn't actually. So yeah.
See, I went to undergrad at LSU, but I went to UT for law school. And one of the things I've never understood is my cousin was in the Corps at A&M, and he would just be after me like, oh, we're gonna, and I'm like, I don't care. Like, this isn't a thing. Like, why are you in my face? And that's how I feel it used to be with Texas and A&M. A&M would be like, we're going to beat you.
Yeah, A&M fans care about the Texas rivalry. Texas fans care about the Oklahoma rivalry.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
That yeah. Yes. Like, I have one of my good friends. He is a bigger Texas fan than I'm an LSU fan, which I didn't think was possible. He almost cried when they lost to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He was just despondent. And this is a very rational, level-headed guy, but just... make him watch some Texas football, and all reason goes out the window.
I mean, because when Texas loses to Oklahoma, Texas loses big to Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's they lose embarrassingly bad, and whenever Texas beats Oklahoma, except for the year when we won the national championship, there hasn't been like a blowout.
Yeah,
we haven't had like that we can look back on this year, and Oklahoma has a history of beating Texas when Texas actually has good teams,
mm-hmm.
and. Texas doesn't have. Texas only did that once. They did that the year that Oklahoma went to the national championship, lost to Florida.
Yeah,
we that was actually a great game.
Yeah,
that was a whole season of really great games actually. But
isn't that one of the best things about college football, that because of the format? And I support a playoff. Don't get me wrong. Because of that format, though, every game sort of has significance.
Yeah, I'm on board with the playoff. I think it's actually. I think if something we can talk about. I think it's a great thing that they're moving to that.
It's a step in the right direction. Hopefully, it evolves. Hopefully, it evolves from 14, works out really well, and they expand it to 18,
and then keep, and maybe get yeah, and then maybe get a little bit bigger. But there's a lot to what Elliot says too. That whenever you don't have that playoff system, whenever you're, I mean,
if you
lose, you get. I mean, it's a gut punch, because it feels like your season's over at that point.
Yeah.
And you, at that point,
Crabtree catches that one pass. That one.
Fuck year. That, man! God,
damn! See, what you are hearing now, dear listeners, is what every sports fan will ever go through.
So much Crabtree catching that pass is that one freshman DB dropping the.
Oh man! Oh man! I don't even remember his name. I remember him as the white safety.
He's a gym rat. He's really scrappy.
Yeah.
See, for me, it's last year LSU versus Alabama, because LSU was doing really well. And Alabama did that one, I think it was a shovel pass, and he just went around the entire defense and scored that touchdown. I was just, my heart dropped, and I was like, no!
Yeah.
Charlton Heston at the end of Planet of the Apes. I'm like, you blew it up!
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible when it happens. But, I mean, I kind of like having that anxiety.
Yeah.
I like going into a big game
and
having it really mean, and it means, like, if you lose this... there's the possibility that it ruins the outcome of the entire season.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons I feel like, the way I personally feel, I can't say this is an objective fact, I think college football is better than NFL, in my opinion, because you do have players that are learning, there is a disparate talent level, so you can do more, like, Oregon can have that speed offense, because they're going to have people faster than your people, whereas when you get to Alabama, who has that NFL, those NFL lines...
Right.
You can't run around them because they can get to the edges.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to figure some shit out or just lose badly.
I mean, it's not... it's definitely not the NFL in terms of, competition level. But you could look at it as being a more exciting version of the game. Like, if you wanted to try to convert somebody into liking football, chances are you might want to turn them on to college football before you do the NFL. Because there's a whole lot of variety.
And there's more pageantry, too. Like, if you're trying to get your girlfriend into football, just take her to a home game.
Right, yeah.
Like, take her, like, I mean, I remember I brought my ex-girlfriend to Death Valley one time, and she hated football. And she was just like, we were there the whole day, we tailgated, she got to see the band come down the hill, and the excitement, and by the time the game started... So I guess what I'm saying is the pageantry, so like the foreplay is what I'm saying. I didn't even come to that, so to speak. Okay, let's just run down the list, and I just want to get your picks. Okay, so we're going to do a lightning round. LSU versus TCU, who's going to win?
LSU.
I'm going to say LSU.
Okay. Yeah. I know that hurt you.
We said we were going to say TCU.
I know. You know what? I'll say TCU. Yeah, you know, TCU. I'll screw it. Yeah, TCU. Whatever. You know, TCU. TCU has... They have a history of
no, they're really good.
Yeah.
And it's not the really... I mean, I guess the problem now with TCU is that they can't sneak up on anybody anymore.
No, right? You're going to see them coming.
Yeah. No longer, I guess, are they the team who, like, oh, it's TCU. It's a Mountain West team.
No,
You know, they're not pushovers, and they're not going to surprise you like a Boise State anymore. Yeah. So the chances that LSU is unprepared for this game is a lot slimmer. So in that case, I'd say LSU is probably going to win.
See,
but TCU can pull an upset. TCU has capability of pulling an upset.
This is one of the things about being an LSU fan. I really don't have a prediction because I know my team. It just depends on how they feel. Are they high today? Did they assault somebody? I don't know. If they come to play, they're going to win pretty easily. But if they're just sort of like, man, I didn't get laid last night, and I really want to get high. And I can't stand Coach Miles. Because, like, I've known a few football players when I was back there. If they come thinking like that, they're going to lose. So I don't know. Okay, Georgia at Clemson. What do we think?
Georgia.
Okay, you had them?
Yeah, I'm thinking Georgia is an outside shot for the national championship as well, so I'd say Georgia.
Yeah, I would go with Georgia, too. You know they picked Aaron Murray over, I think it's Jay McCarron, as the first team SEC quarterback this year, the coaches.
Really?
Yeah, which I agree with. I mean, I think McCarron has sort of just survived off of, you know, that great line.
Yeah. I mean, McCarron, he has a lot less pressure on him.
Yeah.
To win. I mean, you can... It's a lot easier to be comfortable with the players that you're with, knowing that if you have a bad game, they can still bring you up and you can still get a win out of it.
Yeah.
So there's no pressure. It seems like there's no pressure on him.
Yeah.
Plus he's got that super hot girlfriend, so I'm pretty sure
He's gonna be fine.
Did you see I think it was last year at the championship game. One of the announcers took us. He's like, oh my god.
he spent a good 2 minutes oohing her. That was weird.
Like, dude, do that on the internet when you get home. That's what the internet's for. I said that out loud, damn it. Okay, Alabama versus Virginia Tech. What do we think?
Alabama.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to go with Alabama. New Mexico State versus Texas.
Texas.
Okay. FSU, Florida State University versus Pitt.
I actually don't know anything about those two teams.
Well, this is actually interesting. I think this could actually be an interesting game, too, but I'm going to say FSU.
Yeah, I'll say FSU, too. FSU. Yeah, but it's going to be close.
Yeah. I don't know about... I mean, it could... That could be a very interesting game. You know, that of all the games, that could be one of the more entertaining ones actually to watch this week.
What about Northwestern versus Cal?
Northwestern's always really well coached. So I'll say Northwestern.
You know, honestly, I don't know a whole lot about Cal this year. You know, I think I might go with Northwestern as well.
I'm going to go with Northwestern because it seems like only thing Cal's really good at doing is ruining USC seasons. I appreciate that because I hate USC.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a school that has the best fight song, but just the douchiest people. It's like, oh, God.
I'm not going to argue with you. You know why? Because we beat them in 2005.
Yeah! And, like, what's even better is because of Reggie Bush's stuff, they don't even share a championship with OSU anymore.
I know.
It's like, no, you got caught cheating.
Wow, that's right.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
I think about that every day. I'm like, ah, lawyers. I love it. Okay, Boise State versus Washington.
Boise State.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the Smurf turf reigns supreme. I gotta go with it. Okay, and this is a good one because, like, UNC can surprise people in football. South Carolina versus UNC.
South Carolina, and I'm gonna predict that Jadeveon Clowney kills no less than three running backs.
He basically turns into Commando.
Yeah.
He's like, what happened to the quarterback? I let him go.
Yeah, I'm gonna say South Carolina as well.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Okay. You know what? Honestly, if none of the fans have actually seen the Jadeveon Clowney hit, we probably should put that in the post.
We should.
I mean, this isn't a case where it's like a one-off hit because sometimes players just they get lucky. You know, even the even non-stars get lucky with big hits just because opportunity just seems to arise that way. But
yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney I think he may inarguably be the best player in college football.
Yeah, yeah.
This year. I mean, he has a legitimate case. If he has a year like he had last year, he could be the Heisman winner and be the first legitimate defender to win the Heisman Trophy.
He's a very powerful and strong cock. He really is.
He's and that hit that he put on the Michigan running back last year.
Cock really pounded that Michigan running
back. It's a hit for the age. It's a hit to define a generation.
A lot of times when a helmet comes off, you know that there's not a head inside that helmet. But, but on that head, you could swear that guy's head came with the helmet.
it's pretty terrible.
So does he just turn around to... I think Spurrier still coaches South Carolina, right?
Yeah, he does.
Does he turn around to Spurrier whenever it's time to play? And Spurrier's like, well, I think it's time for you to get angry. He's like, that's a secret. I'm always angry. Is that the level we're at now?
Yeah, it's pretty... Honestly, you know what? Pretty much. Because the way in which it happened, if you take the play in context of when it happened, there was a... I think there was a call that went... There was a bad call that went the way of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Something with a fumble recovery, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but South Carolina was supposed to get the ball back, and they didn't because of a bad call, or something like that. So, next play, Jadeveon Clowney rips the fucking head off of that Michigan running back.
Yeah.
The ball flies 10 yards back. He picks it up and they get the ball back anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, who needs refs?
Yeah, and I've heard reports about him. There's been video of him in training camp this year at South Carolina, flipping over tackling machines. There have been reports that he's been unblockable in practice. Guys don't want to go against him in practice.
Damn.
Good lord. He's going to be great this year.
Yeah, beast. I know that word gets overused, but beast.
Yeah, he is.
We have our last segment before we hit everything. And this one, it's our favorite segment. And JC, what is it called?
He Might Be a Cyborg.
And who was the cyborg this week?
Miguel Cabrera.
Okay, and tell me why.
Because this week he hit his 42nd home run. He's on pace to win his second Triple Crown, which is not an easy thing.
But that's the one where he has to run a lot, right? Against the horses?
Yes.
Oh.
So the interesting thing about the 42nd home run he hit is the pitcher wasn't trying to intentionally walk him. And Miggy said, nope, I'm going to hit outside.
Awesome. That is great. He's like, no. I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's actually hit his 43rd since.
Yeah, probably.
I think he's at 43. I think he's three behind Chris Davis for the lead.
Yeah.
For the league lead. And that's the crazy thing about it. I mean, if Chris Davis wasn't having such a great home run hitting season, the next person behind Miguel Cabrera is at least six or seven. Six or seven home runs behind.
Ooh.
He's 12. I think he's 12 RBIs in front of Chris Davis for the lead. And he's 20 points higher in batting average.
Ooh.
I mean, he's having a better season than he had last year when he actually won the Triple Crown. And it's taking Chris Davis to be on such an awesome home run pace in order to ensure that maybe he doesn't get it this year.
Yeah, and by the way, Miguel Cabrera is supposedly injured.
Oh, that's right, yeah. That's right, because, it was a week ago, I think, something with his foot.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, is it plantar fascia? It might be plantar fascia, I don't know. I think he's playing with some injury, but he's playing with it. And
hitting home runs.
And stealing bases and feeling and
stealing JC DeLeon's heart. Sounds
he's no Kaepernick, but
as a Kaepernick, sounds like he need to be worried.
But anyway, if people who don't watch baseball, if you don't understand, I guess the significance of somebody winning the Triple Crown. Triple Crown represents the leader of the league in home runs, RBIs, runs batted in, and batting average. So it's been, I want to say it was 40 years. Miguel Cabrera won it last year, and it was the first time a player had won it in over 40 years.
Yeah.
Oof. When even then it was, I guess it wasn't commonplace for a player to win it, but it was more common. There'd be a Triple Crown winner maybe every one or two a decade type, and then there was a huge drought over a 40-year span because players would get into a more of a specialized hitting type of there would be power hitters, and then there would be hitters who hit for average. And there wasn't usually one of... There usually weren't crossovers, people who could do both.
Yeah, and more of a strategy than just hit it as hard as you can.
Right. I mean, it wasn't until it took Barry Bonds to take steroids in order for that to
get that big ass forehead.
Yeah, in order for that to basically become a Simpsons character, in order to be kind of like a possibility again. And even then, it was even less of a possibility because pitchers wouldn't even throw it to him because he was going to hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
So
it became one of these fabled things where people would really root for somebody to get it. But nobody did for 40 years until last year.
Hmm. So, you know, since he might be a cyborg, this is something I've always wondered when we do these might be a cyborg. What type of cyborg would he be? Would he be more of a RoboCop or a Terminator? Like, what would really fit him, as badass as he is?
He'd be a home run hitting cyborg.
He'd be the kind in Nintendo Base Wars?
See, I'm thinking he's more of a Borg. He just assimilates the ball, then shoots it out. That sounds dirty. I'm going to move on. Okay, that's the end of our first segment, but. Okay. For scores, let's throw it to our reporter in the field, Brian Salisbury, live from the Tetherball World Championships.
In baseball, the Mets took a glaive to the Phillies, beating them 11-3. The Nationals blank-manned the Marlins 9-0. Look, I don't even care. This shit doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because football, donut holes. That's why. That's right. The NFL preseason tickling matches are almost over, and there have already been 2 college games. 2! USC made Hawaii very blue indeed, beating them 30-13, and the South Carolina Gamecocks proved they weren't dicking around when they pounded the UNC Tar Heels 27-10. Aw, hell yeah, football. And fantasy football, bitches! The draft is tomorrow. Check with your specific ITL league at ESPN.com for draft start time. For everyone but JC's league, it should be 8 p.m. Central. Now I'll throw it back to Elliot, who I can only assume is mouth-clapping his way through another sloppy LSU blowjob. Take it, Elliot!
Okay, we're back now. Welcome to our main topic. We're taking some questions from the cheap seats. So, JC, you put the word out.
Yeah,
give us some questions.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions. We for our main topic this week, we just decided to make it all about you, the listener. And so, I do have to apologize right off the bat. If anybody submitted questions through Facebook, I didn't see those. I just kind of saw the ones off of Twitter. And we'll go from the top. So at EZE1694 would like to know what we think of the Ichiro Suzuki 4,000 hit milestone in Japan/Major League Baseball.
What do we think? As in, like, is it legit? Or
I guess, yeah, he wants to know if we think it's a legit record or we should be acknowledging the 2,300, however many home runs or however many hits he has in the actual major leagues.
I think you should acknowledge it. One, there have been professional players who have gone to Japan to play over there, overseas as well. Like, you know, we've had crossovers both ways.
Yeah,
not stars going to Japan, but players going to Japan, and from their experiences over there, their first-hand experience, they've claimed that you take a Japanese player, any Japanese player over there is more than likely able to make any baseball club, any professional baseball club over here. So really? It's not like there's really a lack of talent.
Okay.
And you can see that from players that come over here and can still do well, if not be all-stars, like Ichiro. Ichiro's probably the only legit true all-time, maybe all-star.
He doesn't quit.
Yes. And I think it shows that he, you know, within his first 2 years, he broke the single season record for most hits in a season.
Oof.
So, and he's been a consistent all-star since he got here. So I don't think it's something where you should take his Japanese stats lightly. But that being said, I mean, I guess you can't, for the sake of argument, you probably can't put it in record perspective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if he played another couple of years, chances are that he would have the potential of breaking Pete Rose's all-time record if you combine both his Japanese stats with his MLB stats.
Yeah.
But, you know, regardless, 4,000 hits against top-level competition, regardless of what country you're playing in, is pretty fucking amazing.
Like, he's not playing against scrubs.
Yeah. I mean,
because we don't want no scrubs.
It's true. I mean, they're little. Asians are little, but, you know, they're not scrubs.
Yeah.
And they can throw the ball pretty hard.
Thank you for the 30 pages of comments there, Adam.
and their daughters are creepy. Only when they have long hair and wear white dresses.
Lord.
But
we're going to get picked up by Jezebel now. That's what's going to happen.
I don't know enough about Japanese baseball to... I mean, on the surface level, it seemed kind of silly to me at first, but then as I've learned more about Japanese baseball, it seems like a legit thing to acknowledge. I don't know if it should ever be put into the record books or any kind of asterisk in his name or anything like that, but...
If you think about it, he came into Major League Baseball when he was, I think, 26 or 27. So, if he comes in 5 years earlier as a young player, he's already... There's no doubt.
Yeah,
he's over 3,000 hits, and he's probably got more hits than anybody in the league over that time span. That
actually does put it in a better perspective for me, because there are guys. It doesn't happen so much anymore, but in the 90s there would be guys coming to the NBA from international, and I remember hearing stories about how good Arvydas Sabonis was when he played. When he was 22, 23, a lot of people said he was better than Jordan, but there's no video of that ever exists. Ugh. He came to the NBA as a 32-year-old. Out of shape guy,
right?
And all you heard was the legend of how good he was when he was in his 20s.
Yeah. See, and Ichiro, I mean, again, like I said, 20 years old, his first 2 years within Major League Baseball, he breaks the single season record for most hits. And he's not a power hitter. Like he hits for contact. He gets a lot of singles.
See, yeah, I tend to agree with y'all, because like the way I look at it, it's like, you know, the Major League Baseball doesn't have a spotless track record when it comes to records. It's like you got the entire steroid era, which to me should have a big asterisk by almost everything, because I don't know if we can really trust a lot of what's happened, so I don't know how you don't really count the Japanese games, but you do count the MLB games, when none of them's perfect. Just one we think has better talent.
That's true. And if you want to consider the fact that Ichiro played, when he played here in Major League Baseball, he played in the steroid era.
Yeah.
He dominated pitchers on steroids here in the United States. So it's not to be taken lightly. It's not, unfortunately, it's not going to get counted in the record books, but it is still an amazing feat and one that should be acknowledged like it was. Yeah. So.
Okay. So, let's go to the next one.
So the next question is at Fizz versus the World, wants to know what our favorite arcade style sports game is, like NFL Blitz or Baseball Stars.
Ooh, good question.
Mine easily is NBA Street. I love NBA Street.
NBA Street was good. I remember that. Yeah.
NBA NBA Street's up there.
Yeah, Volume 2 came out. It was in the PS2, and you could play as like Dr. J. And
yeah,
that was good. What do you think, Adam? As I put you in the spot while I think.
Yeah, well, NBA Street probably. Yeah, I'd probably go with NBA Street. If I was going to go with anything other than NBA Street, probably would have been. And keep in mind, I haven't consistently played video games.
How dare you be a responsible person that doesn't have time?
Yeah. But I remember liking NHL Hits a lot.
Yes.
That was a good one.
NHL Hits was a lot of fun. And that was, I think that more so than some of the others, that whenever you played against the, there didn't seem to be a built-in mechanism into the game that allowed the computer to get really good when you were beating the crap out of it. You know, in order to keep the games interesting, it seemed like NBA Jam and some of those other games, they had a tendency to allow the player in the lead to miss more consistently until the other player caught up a little bit. That didn't seem to happen a whole lot in NHL Hits.
Yeah. See, you just brought up NBA Jam. That's mine. Because I remember playing that when
Boom,
I was...
Boom, shakalaka.
Yes, you beat me to it. Like, and he's on fire. And like watching the side of the backboard, because you could see the little crack forming when you knew you were going to break the rim. And I actually have a funny story about this. This is my second most embarrassing story. This is just like a self-imposed roast tonight.
And no one asked for it.
I know. when I was, I think it was nine or eight or ten, and I was what you call an emotional child. It just how I was. It's who I am. And my sister, though, she knew that, but she liked to mess with me. So what my sister did is she knew where my parents had the gifts, so she hid the gift from my parents. And mess with me all day, saying you're not going to get it. And I went to my dad, and like it was like, I'm going to get it, right? He's like, yeah, I got it for you. Don't worry about it. And when they couldn't find it, like they put my birthday on, and like, and that's the only thing I really wanted. I didn't want anything else that year. I just wanted NBA Jam, because I only got 3 video games a year, so like I had to ration it. Mm, yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I want NBA Jam, and I didn't get it. And I wasn't mean. I just sort of was disappointed. I ate my cake and I enjoyed it. And then the next day, like, I still hadn't gotten it. And I'm just sort of sitting there and I start crying in front of my Sega. And my sister comes up and she's like, "You little whip." She's like, "Here, I took it." And I'm like, "I hate you so much." So, yeah.
And you know what? I do remember that. I don't know if we, like I said, I don't play video games as often anymore. But one thing I remember liking a whole lot about NBA Jam was the ability to unlock celebrities.
Yes.
Yeah. Unlock celebrities to play on your team. Yeah, and I remember that being a whole lot of fun. Like, you get, I would look forward to Nintendo Power each week just so that I could find out stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is find out those secret codes you could put in and unlock Flea.
Yes.
To play on, I don't know whose team it was.
It turns from NBA Jam into MTV Rockin' Jock.
Yeah.
And that's actually one thing. I was watching some of our good friends over at Rage Select, because, like, I'm a huge fan of them. And I was watching their DuckTales playthrough. And one of the things I would recommend is, even though we talk about these games that they're great, you have to take that with a grain of salt, because they're colored by nostalgia. And nostalgia is the best, that's the best additive to anything. You go back and play it, you might be like, "This is sort of boring," because games have moved on. So
right.
take what we're saying with a grain of salt. If you don't like it that much, if you go play it, don't blame us. Okay, JC, next question.
At NeilKelly88. Wants to know if any of us would be excited for the upcoming movie Rush, featuring the rivalry between F1 racers James Hunt and Niki Lauda.
Oh, F1, fuck F1.
Dude, you should watch the documentary Senna.
Okay.
And that'll prepare you for this movie. It's about a different rivalry, but Senna was a real F1 racer who had a rivalry with...
I thought he was the makeup styles from Hunger Games.
No. It's cinema. I wasn't too excited about Rush until I realized that it was about a rivalry, and I thought back to the movie Senna.
This is the one. Yeah. Is this the one starring Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm okay. There. I'm there. Chris Hemsworth. I don't care. Chris Hemsworth. I like Red Dawn.
You're not
allowed
to give me shit for Colin Kaepernick.
That's fine. We are. Hey, we're right here. We're like a goofy movie. We see eye to eye.
And, no, the reason why I pointed that out, not because Chris Hemsworth in it, but who's the director? Is it Ron Howard?
Ron Howard.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, I take back my yawn.
So I mean, yeah, I'm probably not excited about it. I'm not an F1 fan. So if it didn't involve the people behind the scenes who are involved in it, I probably wouldn't be that excited about it. But I do like Ron Howard. Yeah. So I would be looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to give it a shot, because the last time a sports movie came out in the fall that I was kind of indifferent to and didn't know much about was Warrior, and now that's one of my favorite movies
ever. Oh, I love that movie.
Warrior's a great movie.
It's one of those rare movies where they do such a good job of showing both sides that you're rooting for both of them in the final fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you don't know who to vote for.
Yeah!
You don't know who to root for.
Yeah.
And then you got, I think it was Nick Nolte?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, his
just gives such a great performance.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he was nominated for it, too, so that's good.
Yeah, and I think Warrior's on Netflix, so definitely go check it out if you have Netflix.
It is on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the best sports films of the past, I don't know how long.
Oh, yeah.
But
I put it up where they were Rocky. I really would.
Yeah. I mean...
I would put Rocky above it, but I would put it there with Rocky.
You know what? I would honestly...
There's moments throughout it where you're really rooting for...
honestly, I would...
Joel Edgerton's character, and yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely watch it before I watch Rocky.
See, I would watch Rocky 4 before I watch Warrior, then I would watch Warrior before I watch Rocky.
I'd watch Rocky 4 before I watched anything.
Yes! So,
yeah.
It's like punching a sheet of iron. Okay, JC, by the way, you're picking some great questions. Give us another one.
It's all the listeners. I'm actually going down the line.
So. You listeners are awesome. All two of you.
So at AJRA Barquez, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, wants to know what our favorite Olympic sport is and why. And I'm guessing I can't say basketball, because otherwise that's what mine would be.
No, say what you want.
It's an Olympic sport.
Like John Mayer said, say what you need to say.
Basketball is my favorite sport, so it's basketball.
Okay, so favorite... I mean, this is a pretty... I'm going to guess your answer to this question. Your favorite basketball team in the Olympics has to be the Dream Team.
Yeah, because Barkley was my favorite player
yes.
At the time. Those games were Those games are fucking magical.
Those, like, they're so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Those are blowouts.
it's like watching a victory lap for 48 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm you know, I remember being in disbelief because that was the 92 games, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Barcelona, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
David Robinson, Scottie Pippen, just and you get
And I should clarify, his question was can be either summer or winter. So if you like figure skating, you can say it.
Hey, don't knock figure skating.
Or curling.
Hey, those brushes do a hard job.
We were talking about the Dream Team, weren't we?
Yeah. So, Adam, what's your favorite Olympic sport?
You know, I don't know if I have a...
Well, okay, what's the one that when the Olympics come on, you make sure to watch?
It sounds so bad. You know what? Honestly, I'm in awe of gymnastics.
My answer.
Really?
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, because I don't watch it at any other time except the Olympics.
So every 4 years.
Every 4 years. That's the only time I get to watch it. And you know what? Honestly, I do have two answers. One of this actually is based on nostalgia. So, but I haven't watched it since I was a kid, so I can't say it's my favorite one. But it does have I do have the most powerful memories with it. But going back to gymnastics to me. Especially when the U.S. has somebody for you to latch Strug. Onto, and Carrie Strug or
Dominic
or the Homs, you know, anything like that. I remember I don't know if it was last Summer Olympics or two Summer Olympics ago, but
Shawn Johnson.
It was the male team.
Okay,
It was.
I follow the females.
I usually follow
because, like, I have two sisters, and they're like, "We're watching the female team." And I'm like, "I don't want to watch dudes in tights."
That's the only reason I watch girls gymnastics. But I do remember that the U.S. men's team, they were going into it without without John Hamm. I don't remember. It's not John Hamm. It's the Hamm brothers.
I but just both see, of, like, yeah. He's on the rings just smoking, yeah. Hitting on the judges.
It's the Hamm brothers, and I don't remember their first names. But anyway, they were going to it without them, and so the men's team was expected to do pretty poorly in the team competition.
Oh, I remember that now. Yeah.
But we ended up getting the bronze, and the way in which we got the bronze was so exciting because we did, like, we dominated the high bar. Like,
it was coming from behind, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, because we were doing well going into, like, we were doing pretty well going into, like, the last two, I don't know what you call them, the last two...
heats or something?
Something like that. I mean, we basically had the pommel horse.
Yeah.
And I think the pole, or the, I don't know, the vault or something like that going into it.
Yeah, because it's the rings. For the men, it's like uneven. It's like
the rings. I think it was going into the rings and the pommel horse. And those are our last two events, and they're the two weakest ones. But we had gotten such high points on the high bar, which we were expected to do. And there was some awesome high bar stuff the men were putting out, that the U.S. men were doing that year. But we were losing our edge going into the pommel horse, and we had two guys fall off. And we were just, like, barely holding on, I think, to the bronze medal. And going into, like, I don't remember his name, but it was the last routine. It was the last routine that we had on the pommel horse. And it was a guy who wasn't even expected to make the team. He was an alternate, but he was a pommel horse specialist. And he comes in and he does this amazing pommel horse routine. And it's kind of like, you know what? It's like LSU football. You don't know. Because you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Because it can be, it's feast or famine. If you hit it, it's amazing. But it's really easy to miss because there's a lot of complicated stuff in there.
Just hearing you describe this, but
he hit everything. Like, he hit all the big points. And, man, I wish I could find, I don't remember his name. It's like Alexi something or other.
But just hearing you talk, I've been listening to a lot of this, it's called DJ Blood Brothers. It's like this big mix of all 80s action themes. And hearing you talk, all I can hear is, like, the Iron Eagle soundtrack. It's like, never give up, Iron Eagle. And I'm just like, that's blaring. I'm like, yeah, America.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the montage during the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
It's like, you're the best around. So I guess the one that I would definitely watch from any time that it comes up, the Olympics, I do actually look forward to gymnastics.
Yeah.
Because I never watch it. But... like I said, if I'm allowed a two-part answer, the one that has the most meaning to me was, going back to the 92 Barcelona games. That was probably the last time where I watched it over the summer when I was a kid, and it felt I was kind of involved with it because I would stay up late
Yeah.
And they'd be televising it, you know.
You'd be like you're watching USA.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Like you're watching whatever it is you're watching, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, what's going on in the Olympics? And that's when they start playing a lot of the more obscure stuff at night.
Yep.
And it'd be me and my older brother, and we would be up until 3 o'clock in the morning watching men's volleyball.
Yep.
Yeah. And volleyball, like, that's when I really got into how awesome volleyball could be.
It's so good.
It is. It's great. And then, you know, and I started watching beach volleyball from there, from then on out, because I got, they started airing it less. Because
you have a Y chromosome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Girls, man, women's beach volleyball.
Good Lord. Let me think. For me, it's going to be gymnastics, but for me, it's the 1996 Shannon Miller, Dominique Dawes, Carrie Strug. Bella Carosi was the coach, and like her sticking that landing when she had a broken ankle. So, but I guess if, I'm going to give you another part too. But for my second part, because like I'm a denizen of the internet as I'm on an internet podcast, and one of my favorite things I've ever seen on the internet, because I'm a big Dragon Ball Z fan, or I was back in high school, and so you never forget that stuff. Was Michael Phelps when he was winning, like when he did the ridiculous run. When he won, like, somebody did an animated GIF where he's celebrating, he just throws his hands up there, he just turns into a Super Saiyan. And that's one of my favorite memories of all time. So I'll put that on there. And JC, let's give you a second one.
I mean, I look forward to the Olympics every 4 years. I love it. I love all of it. Yeah, I mean, the really obscure stuff, I mean, it'd be really hard pressed to watch a second because I'll those 2 weeks I'll literally watch anything that's on.
That's true. Yeah, it is really hard to kind of, I guess, pick a favorite because the event
it's hard to consistently say that like swimming is my second favorite because like Michael Phelps is going to be there next.
That's true.
Next
right. Time around. Yeah. So, you know what? That's true because it kind of does depend from every, I guess what the big thing is to look forward to.
Yeah.
Because there's always cool stuff that comes out, like the 1 year Pocket Hercules is there for weightlifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're only going to take a few more questions. So give us a few more questions here, JC.
Beta Ray Bryce actually has 2 questions.
Love that name.
Wants to know our single greatest moment as a sports fan, and wants to know if there's any sports that we just don't get.
Hmm.
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Mine as a sports fan. So when I was a kid, I didn't have any pro sports or college teams around me where I grew up. So I just kind of liked who I liked. And at the time, I liked Michigan basketball because my favorite players were Robert Tractor Trailer and Maurice Taylor. And so I liked Michigan basketball. And every winter, my family would go to Vegas for Christmas. That's just what we do for Christmas. And I was 13 or 14 at the time, and my parents would let me just kind of do whatever I wanted in Vegas, and so I would go watch the UNLV basketball team, and I would watch the hockey team. And this 1 year, Michigan happened to be playing UNLV at the Thomas and Mack Center. So, like, that morning, my dad took me to the shopping mall, I bought a Michigan basketball jersey, I went to the game, and I sat down, and I sit next to this guy. And he sees that I'm wearing a Maurice Taylor Michigan jersey, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Hey, is that your favorite player?" I was like, "Yeah, Maurice Taylor is awesome." He goes, "Oh, okay, I'm his dad."
Ooh, whoa.
He's like, "I'm his dad. Do you want to meet him after the game?"
Whoa!
Like,
you had a Joe Green moment.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I do. And, it was a cool moment. After the game, we had to wait a few minutes for reporters and stuff to get out of there for them to shower and stuff, but then, took me in there, and I met Maurice Taylor and Robert Tractor Trailer.
Wow.
I met the coach, and it was just like...
That's a Coke commercial. That's so awesome.
Yeah. That was a cool moment.
That's like a Make-A-Wish moment.
Seriously. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's a... Man, I could... As long as I get laid in my life, I could die after that. I'm good.
Yeah.
That's fine.
As far as there are any sports I don't get, I mean, on a certain level, like, competition in general, I get. Soccer's always going to perplex me, just because...
It's sort of foreign, it's just something...
The low scoring, and it's the competition of it, I mean, it's fine. It's a sport, and I get soccer. I don't get the fanaticism of the soccer hooligans.
Yeah.
I'm never going
to
understand,
like,
that.
Is there really a reason to beat the shit out of your opposing side?
Yeah, especially, like, I don't see what there is to get so worked up about a 1-0 victory. Like...
Yeah.
Or a 0-0 tie.
Or a 0-0 tie.
And plus, it's like, you know, how and man, I might get some people come beat me up, but how little do you have in your going on in your life if you get so worked up about a game that you go physically hit somebody because of it?
Yeah. It's and Brian's brother is probably going to get after me for saying I don't get soccer. I get soccer. I don't want anyone to, like, be mad at me for that.
No, you said it now. You said it on the internet. That is your statement. There is no room for any kind of nuance.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going to Europe in November for my honeymoon, so...
Congratulations.
Yeah, so no, thank you.
You should wear a song together. I was half Manchester United, half whatever the fuck.
But I mean, that's the kind of story that I don't want to come back. I don't want to come back from. You know, like that actually kind of does frighten me a little bit, because one of the things you hear about going to do whenever you go to Europe is you feel it. You know, they say you should take in a soccer. You should take in a game.
Yeah,
you really should, because it's a big cultural thing there. I mean, yeah. It's a huge cultural thing, much more there than it is for football here in the United States. I mean, they've got 100,000 people stadiums.
Ooh.
I don't think I'm exaggerating. Like, yeah. I mean, they're humongous. So it's one of those things where you feel like you kind of should go, because it's, you know, when are you going to get the chance to experience sports on that kind of level,
mm-hmm.
That many times in your life. But
yeah. That is a great point.
But I mean, there really are some crazy freaking people, man, who...
Seems like when you watch a soccer game in Europe, it'd be okay, though. You don't want to watch one in Brazil.
I don't know. I would just love to be in Brazil. Like, that would just be cool. I might run into Vin Diesel.
Right, but Brazil is where the fans beheaded the ref.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But the girls are still
really
fine. Which
is not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing at that. That's terrible.
See, I'm having to weigh how fine the women are in Brazil versus getting beheaded. Yeah. I'm still going to go with the woman. I'm good. That's what I want to do. Okay.
What was the question again?
So, sport you don't get and single greatest moment as a sports fan.
Okay. Well, the sport that I don't get curling.
Mm.
It's funny to watch.
Yeah.
I like it because it's the closest I could ever come to being an Olympian. I'm like curling one of these days. Yeah.
I can really sweep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It really does seem like somebody just kind of made up on the fly.
I wonder if they go recruiting at, like, I wonder if they recruit out of janitors.
I guess.
The way you do that broom, man. It's good work.
I don't know. Somebody had to develop that game. And I don't know. I don't really get it. I'm not going to, but I probably don't try to get it either.
That's true. You know, when you're being fair, you're like, look. And both of you have been very fair in that, you know, if you don't get something, it's sort of a part and part. It can either be a sport that is sort of interesting, but there's also an investment you have to put into it.
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't get the desire to make certain things sports. Make certain things into sports. Let's put it that way. I don't understand why I watch Spelling Bees on ESPN.
That's more valid.
That's a good fucking point, man.
That's more valid than
Spelling Bees or poker. Let's put it that. You know,
yeah.
I understand them both as games, but I don't know at what point you draw a line between something being a game and being a sport. Those to me, those are not sports.
They should not
be on ESPN.
Yeah.
But
it's like calling a marching band a sport.
Yeah. But that being said, I understand them as games. I would not play a spelling bee, but I would, you know, I understand it's competition, but not just because something's a competition, I don't think it makes it a sport.
It's like if you put Settlers of Catan on ESPN, it's like, I don't know.
Which I'm sure Jacob Hall would be in favor
of. That's true.
So that's my answer for that. I guess my single greatest sports moment as a fan, I mean, the 2005 National Championship game is up there, because I'm a UT fan,
yeah.
So... It's hard to argue against that. I mean, that's probably the best national championship game
mm-hmm.
that there's been.
Oh, yeah.
over the past, easily. Of the modern era, and the fact that my team was not only the one partaking in it, but two, the one who came up out on top
in a dramatic fashion.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, they won it in the last 8 seconds.
Vince Young put him on his back,
and I mean, it was a great game. So I don't think I can actually think of anything that would even come close to that.
No, yeah, that's good. And I'm actually surprised I didn't immediately think of that, because, like, I despise Sixth Street, but it's one of those things where I was at a friend's house, they won, and I was like, let's go to Sixth Street.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, I mean, even, yeah, because at that point, you're just taking in the moment.
Yes.
You know, even if you're not a sports fan, you're not a UT fan, you just have to. It's one of, you know, it's like going to Europe and watching a soccer game, even if you don't like soccer. Yeah. You just have to take in the event itself being beyond. It goes beyond sports then.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes a cultural thing of the city.
And that's one of the things I'm going to bring up, Remember the Titans, once again. That's one of the things they got so great in that movie, is that they captured that spirit that takes over a town when you're winning. And just how everybody is like, I don't know you, but we're going to celebrate together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My favorite sporting moment had to be, it was my freshman year of college, and I think LSU was playing Ole Miss at home. And Eli Manning was still there. And I hated that prick. I mean, hate the shit out of him. And, like, he was down by the student section. And you could tell the LSU players really didn't want to play anymore. Like, it was last part of the fourth quarter. They didn't really want to do anything. And this may be giving us too much credit, I know. But the student section was cheering when nobody else was. Like, we willed that. We're like, come on! Get up! Like, we're calling Eli Manning every name in the book. Like, we made up curse words. You motherfucker! I quoted Blade. I was like, "You cum guzzling thunder cut! God damn it!" And I don't say that word because I don't like that word. But I was like, "But we were just trying to get in his head." And like, they won that game, and we celebrated for 4 hours that night after the game, just walking up and down, just drinking. Cops were drinking with us. They were just like walking up and down, just yeah. And I'm like, "Oh, I love Louisiana sometimes."
But I bet you didn't call him a mouth breathing dummy.
That was too easy. I would have felt like Sanford from Sanford. It's like, you big dummy. The sport I don't get. See, like, I tend to like
I took spelling.
Yeah, bastard. I like most sports. You know, the sport I don't get, because I haven't invested enough in it, is I don't get golf as much as I should. I just don't.
Because you're a lawyer, you should get golf.
I just sort of think it's like, I'll give a caveat. I don't get golf when you don't have to walk the course, unless you have like a disability. I don't get golf if you just have to ride a cart around and then hit it. Like, why is that a sport? It's like, part of a sport is endurance.
You should. Know what? That's true. I'd watch golf if they had to carry their own bag.
Yeah, like, you should have to carry your own bag. You should have to. There should be like a time limit of the time you have to get to the tee. So you better run your ass to that damn tee and then hit. I want speed golf. That's what I want.
I'd watch that.
So, but I
there'd be some really terrible players.
Yeah. I think Tiger Woods would actually get better, though.
That's true.
Because he's actually pretty fucking fit.
Yeah, that, you know what? Honestly, the way he's been playing, that's probably the only way he's going to get an edge.
Okay, a few more questions. JC, give us the next one.
SG Raider 74. First of all, I have to thank him. He turned in some really awesome fan art.
Was he the one that did that?
Nintendo.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Oh, my God.
He did it for one of us, and he said he's going to do Inside the Locker next. So,
oh, my God, you're awesome.
So thank you very much for that. And his
name might be a cyborg.
Looking up his profile, his name is Sammy. So thank you, Sammy. Wants to know what our favorite hit in all of football is. He gives an example, Jack Tatum on Sammy White.
That is such a great question.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to start this one off, because, like, I don't remember who exactly did it, but I remember it was last year, LSU, and it was a punt return. And one of the things I love about punt returns is you get
watch more than LSU football games, right?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do. That's a fair comment, though. But, like, and this is pretty much, you can see this type of hit on any punt return. You get these blind hits where the team trying to stop the punt return is just trying to get them, but they're not watching the other person, and they just completely just demolish them they fall over like a bag of paper.
Yeah,
it's great to watch.
Yeah. It's the worst thing to experience.
Yeah,
it's great to watch. Yeah. I'm only saying that because I've been on the opposite. I've been on the bad end of one of those.
You just,
man,
don't even, you can't prepare yourself.
No, you can't. I mean,
kickoffs and punt returns. Playing football in high school, I had 3 concussions, and all 3 of them came from when I was a blocker on kickoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty. Kickoffs are the worst because, well, I guess punt returning is not the worst. Going after the punter is potentially the worst, because that's where you do tend to get blindsided a lot.
Yeah.
Because you're so focused on going after the tackle.
You don't see that guy coming.
You're focused on getting the guy with the ball that you don't see the blocker coming from around. And he's got
momentum.
Like, he's got a good 10-yard momentum on you.
Yeah.
So, but kickoffs are even worse because you see the kickoff blocking, you see the guy coming, and you see all the momentum, and all you can do is just prepare. Like, that it's like looking at a car coming at you. Oof. And you can't move because you're supposed to go block the car.
It's like if you were in a car wreck and you couldn't press your brake.
Yeah. I mean, so imagine being behind the wheel in the car, and there's two cars next to you. You're at a red light, and you see something just coming directly at you, and you have there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. JC.
I don't remember what year it was, but it was so one of the most notorious players for illegal hits and fines and things like that. And the first one to be really outspoken about it because he got fined so much was James Harrison. And so a few years ago, I think it was in 2007 maybe, 2008, James Harrison put a hit on Muhammad Masakwai. I don't know if I'm saying his last name right.
You are.
And this was at a time in which they established rules of no helmet-to-helmet hits, but they weren't establishing fines. And so this is a hit that would have gotten him a fine of probably $50,000 today. But you can look at a still photo of the way Masakwai hit the ground. And he hit the ground with his knee on the ground and, like, his back bent, his back almost touching his heel. Like, yeah, it was such a crazy hit, and it's one of the first times where people were like, this needs to stop. Something needs to be done, and the first one they made an example out of was James Harrison.
Oof. Okay, our neighbor Adam, go ahead with it.
Well, I've already mentioned Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
That's an amazing hit.
Yeah, that's an all-timer.
Honestly, I think probably my favorite hit of the that I can think of is actually an offensive player on a defensive player. And that would be when Adrian Peterson ran over the Steelers safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. Peterson caught the ball out of the backfield for about like a 5-yard pass, turns around. And I guess the amazing thing about this is that the Steelers, the safety, he has all the advantage in this situation because
he's got the momentum,
and Peterson is not like he's taken maybe one or two steps, that's it, and he's in prime position to just unload on Adrian Peterson, and
just that physicality.
He turns around, takes two steps, just lunges into the guy, and knocks him flat on his ass. And not only that, the embarrassing part about this is not only that he runs him over, he literally runs over him.
Oh.
He practically steps on the guy's face after he knocks him on the ground on his ass. And the only thing keeping his cleats off of his face is the other guy's hand, just like begging for mercy for no more. I can't think of a more entertaining hit than that one.
Okay, and we're gonna we would love to hear from the fans, see what you thought was like your best hit. You can post it in the comments. And this is gonna be our last question, JC.
What was yours? You got one?
Oh, I said I don't have a specific one,
the LSU one.
You know, just whenever. Okay, that's right. Love those. And this is horrible because like I want players to be protected. If we have to go to flag football, we have to go to flag football. But while it's around, I love those blind hits just because people get knocked the fuck out. It's really fun to watch. Okay, final question.
So this works out because there's two questions left, but at Marcus...
Oh, no, we'll do the two questions.
Well, no, because at Marcus46281, he asked a good question that could make a main topic for another show. He asked if sports are becoming too stuffed with commercials and advertisements.
Yeah, that's a good main topic.
Things like that. So I apologize, we're not going to get to your question now, Marcus, but we will.
But only because it's so awesome.
Yeah, great question. So at Kyle Robinson, who spells his name KYL3_Robinson.
He sounds smooth.
wants to know if any of us participate in or play any sports right now. Which, you know, I'm old and fat, so probably I play basketball on occasion.
Yeah.
Not as much as I used to, definitely, but, you know, on occasion.
I play flag football and full tackle football with no pads from time to time because I'm a stupid man. And, yeah, so I do that from time to time. Like, every few weekends I'll go play with my friends.
You play racquetball, don't you?
I used to play, yeah. I mean, there's not that many places left in Austin that have racquetball, but racquetball is something where if you have a friend who's into it, it's a lot of fun to play. It's a lot of fun to play racquetball. I don't do any spelling bees.
you know you do.
Not that I'm aware of, anyway. So, but I did just actually join my employer. They joined a bowling league.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's been going on the past couple weeks. And
oh, yeah.
Actually, ESPN plays it. I play poker, so there you go.
Yeah.
I play poker.
You know, actually, funny, an interesting story with bowling. If you can guess, if you can, I guess, imagine there's an interesting story with bowling. My coworker, who plays in the league with us, he's actually a really good bowler. He's like a lifetime, I don't know, 220, 230
is bowler, he Bill
something
Murray?
Like that. He does have the hair, but he's not Bill Murray. But if anybody saw this, because ESPN played it a couple weeks ago, there was a guy in Houston in one of these like intramural types of bowling leagues who was working on a perfect game going into the 10th frame, the last shot of the 10th frame. So he had, what is that, 11 consecutive strikes going into the last shot, throws the ball down, and right before he gets to the pins, the sweeper that drops down to clean up all the excess pins comes down right in front of the ball. comes down right in front of the ball, and he gets another opportunity to get a perfect game.
But it doesn't work.
But he gets, I think he gets seven.
That's like the
that.
Perfect bump, bump, ba, bump.
So, but this was kind of educational for me because since it took place in Houston, I told my coworker about it, the one who has played in leagues before, and I told him about that happening, and he comes back to my office, and he's like, you're never going to believe this. I actually know that guy. He's like, I know that guy. Like, I played in leagues with him before. And I was like, man, that's got to be terrible. Like, for something like that to happen, it's got to be I can't imagine something like that happening going on a perfect game. He's like, honestly, the guy's had probably about 20 or 40 perfect games in his life. I think he's fine. And I didn't realize that perfect games happen that commonly in bowling.
I guess if you're that good at it.
I mean, if you're that good at it and you play it over the course of,
at that point, of
years, then yeah. But, I mean, because even he said, he's like, I've had somewhere between 5 and 10 perfect games before.
That's crazy.
I was like, man, if I had a perfect game in bowling, I just like, that's drop the mic, stop, walk out.
Just
I'm
drop
done.
The ball, walk
yeah.
off.
And I guess if you think about it, like over the course of your lifetime of playing bowling, you've had enough strikes to account for a perfect game.
Yeah, that's
okay, those are extremely good questions, people. One thing I would love to see is I would love if our fans, if you can answer some of these questions, too, because we want to hear from y'all in the comments. So just to wrap things up, y'all can find us on iTunes, and you can also follow us on Twitter at ITLcast, at Bryguy Salisbury, at JCDeLeon1, at ITElliot, and Adam.
At the underscore beef.
The beef. I love it because whenever you're not here, we can always ask, where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Yeah. And people who are 40 will get that joke.
That was the reason why I chose that.
okay, so thank you so much for joining us. And until next time.